This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والله يدعو إلى دار السلام ويهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم.
My Zelinus, Allah the Almighty says, it is the people who are safeguarded from the miserliness of their own selves who are successful.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of Purification of the Soul.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'm your host Abu Abdussalam, and we have with us in the studio Brother Muhammad, Gulraz, and Kareem. We're talking about miserliness, and we said that miserliness is quite an evil disease to have because of certain effects that it has on society. Let's have a recap on some of those effects.
It may lead to friendships being broken because the other would think, oh, my friend is very stingy, he will not give me anything, etc., etc.
In terms of public interest, of course.
Things will not be, you know, built for the public's, you know, benefit. You know, no one will. People only spend on themselves. Mm.
So society may become slower somewhat.
So it's this formation of social relation and dismantling of society.
Why? How?
How? Because everyone is concerned with himself, and that's everyone right. Doesn't want to deal with the other. He doesn't want to give. He just only want to take.
It's quite contrary to the Islamic concept of brotherhood. Now, there are a number of cures that a person can use, or remedies that a person can follow in order to be removed from this disease of miserliness. The first and foremost is that one should remember that if he is generous to others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be generous to him. Allah is the one who bestowed him with all these blessings. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to, he could remove those blessings from him straight away. He should also think of the great need that he has on Allah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings upon him. And then try to act in accordance with the quality of generosity. We see that example where Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الرَّحِمُونَ يَرْحَمُهُمُ الرَّحْمَنِ, that those who show mercy, الرَّحْمَنُ, or Allah will show mercy to them. So if a person does a good deed, he expects a similar kind of reward, if you like, but better with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same way, when the person asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what should I do if I don't want Allah's anger? He said, لا تغضب. You don't want Allah's anger, don't be angry to other people. So this is like, reciprocating good, if you like. Now, he should try to act in accordance with the quality of generosity. He should also try to ponder over the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. The second thing that he can do to remove this quality of miserliness is that he should try to avoid excessive love of the dunya, love of the world. And we said that the reason that a person is stingy with something is that he loves that thing. If he gets acquainted with the insignificance of this life, it will be easier for him to become generous. Now, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, he mentioned that miserliness is an ailment. He said miserliness is an ailment which is hard to be cured, particularly if an old man suffers it. Often it's difficult to teach old dogs new tricks. So this is particularly difficult to be cured if an old person suffers from it. Now, the root cause, he says, of miserliness is excessive love of wealth. And the person should think to himself, I was not created to merely hoard money. I should also gather some virtues for the hereafter. With this thought, Imam Ghazali says, he'll automatically strive hard for spiritualism and reject materialism. And this will help him to get rid of this love of wealth, and he'll develop a feeling of generosity. And we can see that very, very clearly. When a person tries to cut off the excessive love of this world, this will help him in being less stingy. Why?
I think viewing life from a spiritual point of view rather than a materialistic one will help one that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ أَشْكَالِكُمْ وَلَىٰ صُوَارِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ. In the sense that God doesn't look to your appearances or your shapes, but He looks into your hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So one must be concerned more with the spiritual side of his life.
Which is a very difficult thing to do in this society where it's a capitalistic world. Everybody is just trying to hoard money, wealth, wealth, wealth. It's a rat race, the 9-to-5 scenario in the West.
I think it's very important to note that as Muslims, some of us, we've forgotten about the spiritual side. Rather, we focus more, not only as Muslims, but just as people in general, we focus more on the materialistic side and leave the spiritual side alone. Well, I think it's important to note that it should be 50-50, it should be equal.
Or perhaps more towards the spiritual side of things. Because in the end, the real life is the life of the akhirah, is the life of the hereafter. So if a person has his goal fixed, then it's easier to deal with these things.
Exactly. I think death is a very good reminder of the hereafter or the afterlife. Because if you think that I might die in a minute and all these wealth will do me nothing, all what I will be responsible for, accountable for, is my good deeds and my faith and mm-hmm. my beliefs.
What are the three things that follow a person, of which only two of them will come back when he dies?
His wealth,
his deeds,
and the third, his family. So his deeds will leave him. His deeds will come with him.
Yeah.
But as for his wealth, his family, these things remain behind. They don't go with him into the grave.
That's why it's even more surprising that an old man will find it hard to get rid of his.
Because he might be closer to death in some ways. Yeah, that's right. You had a comment?
I had. It's the comment that life is a bridge. It's not. It's not some. It's like a journey that ends with the day of judgment. It's not a destination itself to rest at or to feel settled to. Think about money and collecting and gathering. You can lose it in a minute, because you can lose the whole place and everything will die in a minute.
Mm. I think I remember a quote of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, said, the believer should think of the world as a toilet. He should only go into it when he should only go into it when he needs to, spend little time in it, and leave as soon as he's finished.
Yeah, bathroom, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the characteristic of miserliness, you know, it would really affect the society as a whole, because very little goodness will come out if everyone was miserly. You know, people will not save other people's lives because they'll fear that their own lives will be at risk. They will never give charity, never give gifts. You know, everything will be very much,
you know, absolutely.
me.
This view of life reminds me of the saying of Prophet Ayyub, who lived like 950 years, I think. When they asked him about his life when he was 950 years old, he said, life was like a house. I came in from a door and went out from another door. It was like nothing.
And you feel that, you know, the older a person gets, you always see and hear of the older people saying, hey, how time has flown by. I just remember, you know, that such and such happened maybe 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago. Mm-hmm. It feels like last week, last month, last year. So we see that. So the person, if he cuts off this this extreme and excessive love for this dunya, then he will in fact be curing his miserliness, or the disease of miserliness. The third remedy for miserliness is that he should think about how people all dislike misers. I mean, everybody hates misers. Everybody.
Even the misers.
Exactly. Even the misers dislike each other.
Thank you.
And this thought should be enough to rid oneself of this disease. Because if he's going to be a miser, people are going to recognize it, they're going to know it, they're going to see it. They don't want to hang around with him. They don't want to know him. He's selfish. The fourth remedy is that he should think that one day he may also be in need, just like the one who is requesting from him now. So when a person thinks to himself, let him show some kind of empathy towards the one who is asking him now for a favor. And he may be also in a state one day that he will be the one requesting. He may need to beg someone for something. He may need to borrow someone for something. He cannot guarantee that his rizq or his provision for this life will remain in a state of affluency until he dies. He doesn't know how much Allah has portioned for him the next day, or you know, the next week, the next year, whatever. So he should be empathetic towards the one who is asking him now. Perhaps I will be in that situation. How would he feel like it if he was in that situation and the wealthy person he was to ask was miserly towards him? And this is quite an important way of remedying a cure. And in fact, this is quite this cure often helps a number of diseases, especially when a person, for example, when he's having bad thoughts about another Muslim, he should put himself in that position. Say to himself, hey, if I was in that situation, what would I do? Okay, I might do this, 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 and this, which is not what he did. But at the same time, it often helps a person to understand why another person made a mistake, why another person did this or did that. In the same way here, when a person is stingy, somebody's coming to him, he's feeling stingy towards that person, he should realize, well, hey, I might be in that position sometime in the future, and I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be in that position. So let me give something in charity as well now. Let's go into a break now, after which we'll continue looking at some of the cures of miserliness. And inshallah, we'll conclude the episode with looking at some stories about some of the pious people and how they were generous and how opposite they were to the, or how their character was so opposite to that of miserliness. Assalamu alaikum.
Ask God is a program which aims to answer your questions about your deen, your faith, your way of life. This course is Islam.
This is a totally different price, but I divided the payment over this period of time. And the seller is the person or the firm which owns the item which you're buying in this condition. This form of business transaction is love.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi.
Now, we were talking about miserliness, some of the cures of miserliness, and we were talking about, the last cure we were talking about is that a person should remember that when somebody comes to him and he's in need, and the person himself is not in need, he should try to help his brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is helping a slave of Allah, his slave, as long as the slave of Allah is helping his brother. كان الله في عون عبده ما دام العبد في عون أخي أو كما قال. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping his slave as long as his slave is helping his brother. So this kind of concept of when you're in need and you want other people to help you, in the same way, when you're not in need, you should help other people. Especially when you expect help when you're in need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's one time where everybody will need, will be in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the Day of Judgment. Expand on that a bit.
That, I mean, on the Day of Judgment, we'll all be in need. We'll have nothing to help us. So we'll need the help of Allah. If Allah is, you know, is not generous and merciful to us, then we have no hope.
And Allah is always generous and always He's Al-Kareem.
I think we always need Allah, but this single act of charity might take us from hell to heaven.
Yeah, I remember actually a brother relaying a story that he asked his sheikh, you know, should we give to beggars, you know, who ask for charity always? And the sheikh said, yes, you know, even if it's something small, give it to the person who's asking, you know, hoping that on the Day of Judgment when you're in need of Allah, that Allah will, you know, will help you and be merciful to you because you help someone else in need in this life.
Yeah, that's right.
This also reminds me of a story of one of al-Tabi'een. He used to say that when he was asked about giving a beggar some money, he said that he had a habit of giving, whenever a beggar asks him for something, he gives him money. he had this kind of habit. And he was afraid if he cut this habit, that Allah would cut the habit of giving him his rizq.
Yeah, and this is when a person, he feels that even though he has wealth, he is affluent, whatever, but he's always in need. He's always in need. And since he feels that he's in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, primarily, and therefore he should help his brothers. He should help fellow Muslims. And therefore this will remove him of this quality of miserliness. Another thing that a person should do is that he should fight against his own soul. So whenever he has the urge of being stingy, he should do the opposite, give double. Somebody asks for something, he should fight against his own soul, give double. Somebody asks for 10 pounds, 10 riyals, $10, whatever the currency is, and he thinks to himself, shaitan comes to him, his soul whispers to him that, hey, don't give him the money. And stinginess comes out. He should punish himself by giving double. Let me give him 20 riyals, 20 pounds, $20, or whatever the currency is. And this is a very, 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 a very effective method for, as we've seen, many of the diseases of the soul. That whenever the disease comes to you, you fight it. You face it head on. You do the opposite to what that disease is dictating you to do. As we saw in envy, for example. A person is envious, he wants to speak. He wants to, you know, for example, he's envious of somebody's car. He wants to go and scratch the car, for example. He does the opposite. He says, hey, let me wash the car. Bit of charity. Let me do that. Let me act contrary to that charity.
And the ultimate aim is to please Allah. Is for
because
Allah
the ultimate please, aim is to please
the
Allah's
pleasure of Allah.
Yes. So, in any disease, one has to train his body and indeed his soul or his intellect to deal with those diseases. An example of the body is if somebody breaks his hand, breaks his leg. If he breaks his leg and then it's been plastered, it's been fixed, he is advised by the doctors in general to exercise the leg, to train the leg, to get back into a healthy state. In the same way, the soul. The soul has a disease, one has to train that soul to like giving money in charity. And you'll find that this is a very effective measure. Let's have a look at some statements of some of the people that we interviewed earlier on.
One of the cues that you can get closer to Allah and read Quran and know that Allah give others some things that you couldn't have, and he have some reasons for doing that. Some
miserliness is like a social issue, so it's the main cure for the miserliness is believing in God, and who's a Muslim, he's not miserless, because nobody takes money to if you spend it today or tomorrow, it's never gonna last for forever. So, you know, spending, because you never know what's gonna happen tomorrow. So spend it now to the poor and to have fun with it.
I think one can remove miser from himself can be help the poor people on the streets. He can give money, maybe 25 piastres or 50 piastres, but it can help to remove the miser from himself. Because by helping them, he'll feel that they are poor people and they need help, so he will give money, and gradually he can remove miser from himself.
To remove it completely, that's the way, you know, God created you. That's how you are, and you haven't, you didn't choose that. You didn't choose what's in your heart. Basically, you can't control or you can prevent yourself from letting that do harm to yourself and to others. But I don't think you can really, remove it, because it's in you. It's something. It's like your hand. You can cut your hand, but that wouldn't be good. You know, you kill part of yourself.
Yes. With regards to the cures or remedies, we've looked at five remedies for miserliness. The sixth one is also a very important one. And this is that he should aspire, the one who has some kind of miserliness in him, the miser, he should aspire to be like the prophets. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, upon all of them. And also like the righteous people. May Allah have mercy on them. Who were generous and they would give in charity abundantly. Now, with regards to this last remedy, let's have a look at some examples of this. Now, we've already mentioned before that the Prophet ﷺ was never asked for something except that he agreed to give that thing. Likewise, a man once came, once asked the Prophet ﷺ for something in charity. And the Prophet ﷺ gave him a flock of sheep between two mountains. A huge flock of sheep between two mountains. Then the man went back to his people and said, "Oh my people, accept Islam, because Muhammad gives in charity as a man who does not fear poverty." Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This man, he linked fear of poverty to stinginess. In other words, the absence of fearing poverty to generosity. And he said, well, if that's the case, this must be the right religion. What's the connection here?
The connection is that he's not afraid of tomorrow. He doesn't have the fear of the unknown that most people have about the tomorrow, the next year, what will be my life after 2 years from now.
You've hit the nail on the head. Exactly. The person, most people who only have worldly concerns, worldly thoughts, they don't have any kind of belief in the akhirah, in the hereafter. They have no knowledge of that. Then they're going to be concerned about tomorrow. They're going to be concerned, where's my rizq coming? But the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was not like that. He had full reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew that Allah is the one who provides.
I guess it's a good dawah tool also.
It's a good dawah tool. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ did. He gave money, or this wealth, if you like, in the form of sheep to this person. He said, hey, this guy, this Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he doesn't fear tomorrow. And this shows that he has some kind of connection to the afterlife, to Allah, to the Lord. It must be something true. So, and from this he accepted Islam. Another example is where Uthman radiallahu anhu owed Talha radiallahu anhu 50,000 dirhams. What's a dirham? What's a dirham?
It's a currency.
It's a currency made of?
Gold coins.
No,
silver
coins. The dinar was made of gold coins. Gold coins. And the dirham was made of silver coins. Now, you can imagine 50,000 dirhams, pure silver. Okay? So even if we don't know if we may not know the exact measure of the dirham, but we know that it's a silver coin. So imagine 50,000 of these coins made of silver. I want you to imagine that. Picture that. It's a lot of wealth, even for today's time, let alone in that time. Now, Uthman radiallahu anhu owed Talha radiallahu anhu these 50,000 dirhams. Then once he entered the masjid, and Talha came to him and said, hey, here's your money, so take it back. Talha is giving back the 50,000 dirhams, silver coins, that he owes him. But he said, no, you keep it, Abu Muhammad, to help you in your hospitality. And this was the generosity of them. This was the generosity of the Salaf. Another example of this is where Urwa radiallahu anhu rahimahullah, he said that I saw Aisha radiallahu anha distributing 70,000 dirhams or dinars. He wasn't sure. Was it dirhams or was it dinars? As we said, dirhams is out of silver, dinars out of gold. I mean, if it was gold, you can imagine how much more this wealth meant to them. How many thousand dirhams? She was distributing 70,000 dirhams while she was patching her cloak, her garment. Imagine, okay? Aisha radiallahu anha, she's patching her garment and she's distributing away the money. I mean, there's a major significance here. The fact that she could have easily used some of this money to go and buy a new garment. Why patch it? Or pay someone to patch it. But no, she's patching the garment. She has no connection, no kind of aspirations for this wealth, she gives it all away. 50,000 dirhams or dinars? The narrator is not sure which one. But imagine, gold coins, silver coins, 50,000 of them. It's a lot.
You didn't even keep another, one?
Huh?
Didn't even keep one?
Didn't even keep one. And that's narrated in another hadith where that Aisha radiallahu anha distributed 100,080, again, dirhams or dinars, the narrator is not sure, among the people in one day. In one day. So she did have a lot of wealth. She did have a lot of wealth, but she gave it away. When she came upon the evening, Maghrib time, she asked her slave girl to bring her something to break her fast with. She had a slave. She said, hey, give me something to break my fast with. So the slave girl came, Darra. She came to Aisha radiallahu anha, and she gave her, the slave girl came with and brought her bread and oil. Bread and oil. And a companion of hers, she said, Darra, she said to Aisha, could you not even have kept one dirham of the money you distributed today to buy us some meat with which we will break our fast? So this was their concern. I mean, they gave so much in charity. Aisha said, if you'd have reminded me, I would have done so. In other words, she didn't even remember that she was fasting. She didn't even remember or think about what is in the house. Another example, Sa'ad ibn Qais, he fell ill. But none of his friends visited him. On asking about the reason, it was said to him, they are shy of the debts that they owe you. Then, people are in debt. This is why they're not visiting him. They're shy. He said, may Allah humiliate wealth that prevents one's brothers from visiting him. And then he commanded someone to call out among the people, whoever is indebted to Qais with something, he is free from it. So he, you know, removes all of these debts. And it was said that the steps leading to the entrance of his house were broken as a result of the numerous feet of the visitors that trod him. So we can see from these examples how important it is to have this quality of generosity and how one should avoid any kind of miserliness. With this, inshallah, we end today's episode. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.